Raw Truth podcasts may contain explicit, sensitive, and questionable content. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual podcaster and are not based on the advice of a licensed psychologist, therapist, or other medical professional. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Women's lives follow many paths, twists and turns, and choices never planned nor expected. In life, temptation, anger, depression, and loneliness can lead a good person to make a choice that they can't take back. When facing judgment and isolation, a person can feel very alone. In this podcast, you will hear stories from women who made the choice to cheat on their spouses or partners. Hear their stories. This is Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity. An anonymous and no judgment podcast created and hosted by me, Rebecca Adams. I was an unfaithful wife. You are not alone. Hello and welcome to Raw Truth Stories of Female Infidelity. This is Rebecca. Today we're going to listen to part two of Karen's story. A recap of part one, we met Karen. And she talked about being in a relationship with Jake that just really didn't seem to be healthy, but they had a little girl. And then when she was working, she met Brian, who ultimately became her boyfriend. And Brian wasn't exactly honest. He had some drug issues, and they tried to work it out. They had a blended family, a little boy on the way, and he just couldn't keep himself clean. And Karen states in this that she looks back now and says, I should have left him. But at the time, she was just really just trying to live the dream, keep her family together, and do everything that she could to make it work. So at the end of part one, she ended up kicking him out of the house because he left the kids at home alone for just a short period of time, so he says, to get drugs. And when she found out, she kicked him to the curb. I had a relative come and stay that first night when I went to work, even though that relative is not the best character as far as sobriety goes. She was still a safe person to be around my children, but she has her own children, and she wasn't going to be able to come there every single night. I did figure stuff out as far as work goes and who had watched the children. I had to work because I was the only one that made the most money and kept a roof over our heads. So at first, I was having him just come over at night and staying there at night. He was sober. And he was going to meetings, but I really had no hope as far as him staying sober. Eventually, I allowed him just to come back home because it was easiest for both of us. I'm trying so hard to speak on what I feel is important, but after all these years, there's been so many little small things that I can bring up, but I'm trying to stick to the facts. When my son turned 4, I got a daytime job, which was wonderful at this point. My husband was just over a year sober, and even though he wasn't actively attending meetings or doing anything like that, he was at least maintaining sobriety. I felt I couldn't ask for much more than that because of the fact that if I were to set him off, I would be the cause of the relapse, or that's how I thought. We rarely had sex, but by this point I didn't even care. I assumed that he didn't have any desire for it, and there were a few times that I would bring it up because I wouldn't feel he was attracted to me, and he would say that that's not true. He would just say he is attracted to me, but just doesn't have a sex drive. I went with him to an appointment and asked the doctor to run some tests again, checking his testosterone and making sure everything is normal because that could be the cause of the little libido, but everything came back normal. It wasn't a huge deal to me that we weren't having sex because it had just become our normal, but there were times that I did feel non-existent. We had lived our lives for so long together, but not really together. We were really good at parenting our kids. We were okay as far as keeping our house running. I did the majority of everything, but that's just how it was, and he was still there to help when I needed the help. He was a good dad to our children. He was very involved, and in a lot of ways, my daughter was closer to him than she is with her own father. Brian never seems to worry about anything. He never talked about his feelings. He never showed dissatisfaction with anything. He would just quietly keep it to himself. He was raised in a pretty abusive home. I should add that, and I think that is the reason he had become such a seemingly nice guy, like always agreeing with people and not speaking up if he wasn't treated right. When I would be upset with him for something, I could yell at him and he would just take it and either do what I was asking him to do or he said he was going to do it, but then not do it, because either one was easier than having to hear it from me. In a way, I did feel like a roommate because we literally only had been roommates. I just felt very stuck, and if you would have looked at my social media during this time, you would have never known any of this because we were a very nice-looking family as far as everyone knew. We were just a normal family, and he was just a great guy. At some point during this time, I had become close with an older male friend. He had kind of become someone I could speak to about Brian and I because he knew and loved both of us. He did give a lot of good advice, but as we grew closer, there were feelings evolving. That relationship didn't become physical, and it lasted less than a year, but it was never more than a friendship and ended at the most as a crush. I didn't feel love for this man in a way that I feel with P. We'll talk more about him later in the story. I eventually ended that relationship altogether, and I didn't feel the need to tell Brian because I knew it was never going to happen again. In 2019, things were probably the best they had been for us. We were doing pretty well financially. Brian was still sober. We had happy and healthy kids, and we were getting along really well. There still wasn't a lot of sex, but again, that was normal for us, even though I did want to have more sex with him. I didn't know how to initiate it, and when we did do it, it didn't feel natural or right, or he wouldn't be able to maintain an erection, so it was almost more sad to try and have a healthy sex life than it was to just keep on doing what we were doing. One day, I was looking through what I think was one of the kids' tablets, and it connected to his Google account, and I went on to Google for something, and then his search history popped up. I could see a search history, and I realized that he was looking at porn. A lot. Like he was looking at least 4 times a day. I was able to look at the history for maybe a month because he hadn't cleared it. There were times that I knew he was home and he was looking at it, so I wondered what he was doing with 2 minutes in the bathroom. I mean, was he jacking off every time? I couldn't believe how much there was, so again, I had to bring up an uncomfortable conversation with him. As usual, he denied it initially, but then he couldn't deny it and broke down crying and said yes, he does have a porn problem. I felt disgusted with him and disgusted with myself because in my head, I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? Why isn't he attracted to me after reading up on porn addiction? I understand that that has nothing to do with me. He had lied and told me he would not look at porn and he would try to be with me physically, which he didn't. He told me that he has had this problem for many years, and by the sound of it, I don't think he and his ex-girlfriend had a great sex life. This is probably why. We half-heartedly tried to have more sex. But now it felt even more hurtful to me. I felt he didn't want to, and I, at this point, didn't want to either. However, I still wanted to get to a healthy place that we had never been in. We didn't try for long, but then I would get angry inside when we did do it, because I could just imagine him imagining the woman on the porn and not being present with me. We barely looked at each other's eyes when we did have sex, and it was just awkward. Then when he couldn't maintain an erection, I would just get angry. It was around this time that we both started drinking a bit. I found out that when we hung out together and drank alcohol, we both really liked each other. It started out maybe being a couple of times a week mostly. We weren't always getting flat-out drunk, but we were still drinking more than we ever had together as a couple. I should add that drinking was never a problem of his. It was always drugs, so I didn't feel bad about drinking with him. Also, when we were drinking, we would have sex and we were both drunk, so it didn't matter if our inhibitions were down. I wasn't noticing the things that I would notice otherwise, like him seeming distracted or me being worried about looking good. It was the first time in our lives that we both ever worked daytime jobs, so we had a lot more time together. It seemed like with that time, we filled it up with a lot of alcohol. Soon after this, COVID happened. This gave us even more time at home together, and I was working a lot less due to COVID. Because of this, I was also receiving unemployment, which was adding a lot of money to our monthly income. The COVID relief money added to the unemployment where we live. I don't remember how much extra it was, but it was more money than we were used to having. Even though we were at home or together and still in not a great place, we were in a better place. There was less stress for getting the bills paid. I was homeschooling the kids because the schools had shut down. Things were probably the happiest they had ever been for our family. When the COVID numbers began to go down, Brian and I decided to book a trip to Las Vegas. We had never been on a trip together, just the two of us. Prices for flights and stays in Las Vegas were super cheap because only half of Vegas was open at this time. We spent a lot of time planning this trip, and it was something to look forward to. And we hadn't had something to look forward to as just a couple, just the two of us, for a really long time. One night while drinking, I brought up marriage, and I was kind of feeling jealous because when he was with his ex, he had proposed to her, though they never actually got married. They weren't together that long, but the fact that he had proposed to her and he had never even spoke of marriage to me bothered me. So I brought this up and we didn't fight about it, but it was just a conversation that stuck with me about a week before our trip. We were talking about everything we were going to do in Vegas, and we brought up the conversation of getting married in Vegas and how that would be really cool to do that. He knew that I didn't like the idea of planning a big wedding, even though we weren't engaged and he had never proposed to me. But what I really wanted was to have him propose to me. But I think he liked the idea of getting married in Vegas because it took the hassle of having to find a ring and do the proposal off of his back, even if it was something he was thinking about doing. But we didn't make a decision. We had just talked about it, but then when we got to Vegas, we were drinking, having a wonderful time, and shortly after getting there, we decided, let's do it. Let's get married. My mom and sister were at our house watching the kids while we were gone, and they told the kids and everybody was so excited for us because as far as they knew, we had a great relationship. They didn't know anything about all the stuff that we had gone through. I mean, none of it. They didn't know much about the drugs, if anything. As far as the porn and the pictures, they definitely didn't know about that. My mom was so happy the day we got married. It was a nice day. My kids were very happy. We were both very happy. It was a nice, intimate little wedding. We both cried a little bit. It was sweet. I told myself that day that I was going to live by those vows. I was going to put my all into this relationship, and I told myself that I would be faithful to him no matter what. We talked about the past and moving forward from here with the best intentions, and we went back home. I was very happy for a while. I was actually giddy about being married and having this fresh start together. Since we were both back to working a lot, we weren't drinking nearly as much as we had been. We both started working out and eating healthier. I've always been pretty healthy and I've always tried to make room for exercise in my life because it makes me feel good. He, on the other hand, was not into fitness or cared about his body and he was getting a little bit chubby. I too felt a little chubbier than normal, so it did seem like a good time to start this healthy lifestyle together. That was something that really brought us close because it was something we did together that we could hold each other accountable for. Our sex life still, of course, wasn't great, because we had never worked on all of the issues that were underlying, but I'd say maybe it was a little better. Rather than never having sex, we were doing it maybe once a month for the first time in our relationship. I really felt like we were locked down, like this is our future. I didn't have a thought in my head about us not working out because we're not married, and it's not a possibility that he's not doing drugs, he's sober. He is almost everything I've wanted him to be. I had around this time grown closer to Christ. I grew up Christian, and even though my family didn't make it a huge priority, I always knew about Jesus and was close to him as a child, and as time went on in my adult life, I grew further and further away, and it wasn't a big priority to me. Well, I had just made friends with a girl who happened to be married to a pastor, and she invited me to their church. The church was wonderful. The people there are wonderful. I started going regularly, and my kids started to go with me as well. My daughter decided to get baptized, and all this time, my husband was very against going to church himself. He didn't have a lot of reasoning for it, and he didn't make me feel bad for going, but he just stated that he had no intentions on ever going. That was something that really bothered me, but I also felt that God could work through me, and that eventually he would see what God was doing for me in my life, and that would be all he needed to join me in church. I really felt that strongly the night it happened. I was in bed that night with no intention of going out. My best friend called me and begged me to get up and come to a bar with her. She had a really difficult day and she needed a friend. I tried saying no, but she showed up and drugged me out anyway. It was late and everyone in my house was sleeping. I didn't even tell my husband because I figured why wake him when I'll be home in a couple of hours. We walked into a bar and it was surprisingly busy for a Thursday night in a small town. We quickly drank a couple of drinks and a shot. She was trying to get me drunk so I'd stay out. It hit me fast and I was feeling good. I looked across the bar and noticed him, and so did my friend. She had been friends with him in high school, so she ran across the bar and hugged him. I followed, and when we made eye contact, I felt butterflies, like I felt years before when I was in his car as a teen. He was a couple of years older than me in school, and we hung out once with my friend and a couple of other kids. We smoked pot in his car on a school lunch break, and that was it. I thought he was cool and kind, and I had a little crush on him. I never told him, and that was it. Years went by, and I still thought of him now and then, especially when I would hear Tom Petty, but I never even looked him up on Facebook to see what he was doing in life. I was surprised to feel the way I felt at the bar when our eyes met. He's not my typical type, not that I really have a typical type that I go for, but he was shorter than most men I get attracted to and a little chubby. He is taller than me and also very strong. His eyes are beautiful. They're beautiful crystal blue. They're truly the window to the soul, and in his I saw kindness, pain, and love. I was drunk, but that feeling was real, and those gorgeous eyes are my favorite thing about him. We kept drinking, and before I knew it, I'm kind of throwing myself at him, and we ended up going out for a smoke. I don't smoke, but I did this night with him, which is a good indication of just how drunk I was. We ended up going to his car and making out, and we tried to go farther, but then I came to the realization, oh my God, what am I doing? I told him I was married and I couldn't be doing this, all while still breathing heavily and doing very little to stop myself from feeling this turned on. I ended up letting him suck on my boobs, which is just comical and hilarious to us now. My friend found us in the car and broke it up, and we went back to the bar. We all ended up going to a party with his friends, and I was sobering up as we had run out of alcohol. It was now maybe 3 a.m., and my friend wanted to bring me home, but she was wasted, and I told her she shouldn't drive. I also secretly wanted him to drive me home, as he said he would. She refused the ride and left me there with him and his friends. We left shortly after that, and he asked me if I wanted to go swimming. It was a beautiful morning in June. The sun was just starting to rise, and it was already a warm morning. I thought, how can I say no to swimming on a gorgeous morning like this? And the pit we were going to was only about 15 minutes away. I said, okay, but after that I had to go home. When we got there, I was just in awe of the beauty of the morning and the water, and I was more than ready to jump in. I took off my clothes but kept on my underwear and bra. We jumped in and the water was brisk and clear, and we drew each other near and started kissing and holding each other in the water. Again, he tried taking off my underwear and fingering me. I again told him no because I was married and I did not want to cheat. I wasn't exactly stopping him though, and I was loving it. It went against everything I had told myself I wouldn't do again, but the passion was so intense. I ended up telling him it was fine as long as we didn't have sex because I was trying to rationalize this all somehow, and I thought, okay, if it's not sex, then it's not as bad. He kept touching me and I was touching him. He was so big, at least bigger than my husband, and he had so much passion, and he begged me, could he please just put it in? And I said yes, but only for a minute, because God, I wanted him badly. When he entered me from behind and started rubbing me in the front, I started coming immediately, and he finished in the water with help from me. It was just passionate and made me feel young again. For that short while, I felt like a teenager again. We drove around for a while talking and holding hands like we'd been together as a couple for years. I felt like I knew him so well, and I felt so comfortable with him immediately. He ended up dropping me off at my cousin's at around 6:30 a.m., and I walked home from there. I told my husband I had ended up staying there after the bar. He was irritated with me, but not angry. I tried to sleep for a while, but my mind was spinning. I was full of lust and excitement, but filled with deep, deep guilt and fear that my husband would find out. I contacted him later that day and begged him not to tell anyone and told him how big of a mistake it was and that I love my husband and it would ruin our marriage if he found out. He assured me that he wouldn't tell anyone and that it was only sex. He told me he'd never want me to ruin my marriage, but he had a great time. I felt a little relieved, but I still knew someone else could tell him about us at the bar. Days went by, and I was filled with dread about what a bad person I was. How could I have done this? I promised myself I would be different once married. I tried telling myself it was a drunken mistake, but I couldn't get him out of my mind. He Snapchatted with me here and there, but nothing inappropriate. I live in a small town and work in healthcare and know most people at the clinics and hospitals in my line of work. I was embarrassed to go get checked for STDs. I had no symptoms, but it was a worry in my head. I reached out to him to ask if he knew if he was clean and when he had last checked. He assured me he was and sent me results that he had done just after we had hooked up. That made me feel good to know he was so quick to get tested and made me think he probably doesn't do this all the time. We kept chatting here and there, and I eventually invited him to meet up with me out of town on my birthday. I told him I'd be with my family and kids, but we were going out that night and we could casually act like we had ran into each other, old friends. He got a hotel room at the same place as me. Everything went great going out to the club and accidentally running into him. No one suspected anything, and my sisters got along with him instantly. We had such a great time. That night, I pretended to go find some heartburn meds, but instead went to his room and again had sex. This time, I was actually drunk, and I don't remember a ton, which was disappointing. The next morning, I went to his room to talk before I left, and he gave me those eyes, and we kissed in a way you can only kiss someone you love, at least the only way I kiss somebody I love. I left that day feeling less guilty and more confused. He ended up messaging me and saying he had had the best time ever, but it had to stop. I was crushed, but I also understood it was for the best. Well, that didn't last, and we ended up meeting throughout the next few months here and there in our vehicles and keeping it physical, but always talked and drew closer each time. It was never just sex, it was passion. I had never experienced orgasms the way I did with him. I was always able to climax easily, but this was just insane. I squirted almost every time we had sex, but that's not why I kept going back. It was hard to resist when I felt such intense feelings for him and was having the best sex of my life. Every time I had to leave him, I felt like I was leaving a part of myself there. I was so close to him in a way I've never been with my husband. He opened up to me about things, and I did too. Our sex was so electric. We had a couple of Airbnb stays and overnights at his place, but we kept it safe where we didn't say I love you. I knew I felt it. I felt it so strong, it's all I wanted to say. I could feel he loved me, but hated our situation, yet neither one of us could stop. Thank you for being here today. We'll be back in 1 week for the conclusion of Karen's story. On Raw Truth Stories of Female Infidelity, I share stories of women who have been unfaithful to their spouse or partner. I give them a safe space to be able to explain what happened and why they chose the direction of infidelity. But I also feel it is just as important to understand what the betrayed husband or partner faced when he uncovered the truth. She got dressed for bed and put Whitney in her room as she was already sound asleep. She came back into our bedroom, got in bed, and she turned off the light. She started being very aggressive with me and wanting me to bite her neck. I did because it seemed to turn her on. However, I was always careful not to leave marks. Regardless of how much, it got her going. She took off her sleep shirt and stuck her large breasts in my face. It was then that I saw there was already a big hickey on her breast. To hear exclusive stories of the men's discovery of female infidelity in their relationship, have early access to regular episodes ad-free and more extras, subscribe to my Patreon by visiting my website, rawtruthstoriesoffemaleinfidelity.com. Subscription pledges start as low as only $4 a month. You have been listening to Raw Truth Stories of Female Infidelity. Your support of Raw Truth Podcasts is truly appreciated. When you visit the website, rawtruthstoriesoffemaleinfidelity.com, you will find the story guides to help form your story, where you can subscribe to Patreon for exclusive episodes, and to vote for the podcast to be in the Hot 50 Countdown for Podcast Magazine. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to my other podcast, Let's Ponder with Rebecca Adams, where taboo topics are discussed. To submit your female infidelity story, share feedback, or have general questions about the show, please email rebecca.rawtruth@gmail.com.